Hey everybody, welcome to the program. This is The Other People Show, and I'm Brad Listy. I'm your host. I'm in Los Angeles. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it, and I hope you're doing all right. It is Friday, and as such, we will be doing a flashback episode where I dig into the Other People archives and share an outtake from an episode out of the past. Today I'm going to be sharing an outtake from episode 377, my conversation with author Karolina Václaviak. Episode 377 first aired on August 26th, 2015. Karolina Václaviak is the author of the novels Life Events, The Invaders, and How to Get Into the Twin Palms. Most recently, she was the editor-in-chief of Pulitzer Prize-winning BuzzFeed News. Before that, she was the executive editor of Culture for BuzzFeed News. And before that, she was deputy editor of The Believer magazine. Her work has appeared in a variety of publications, including The New York Times, The Los Angeles Times, The Believer, and Hazlitt. A flashback to episode 377, my conversation with Karolina Václaviak, is coming up in just a couple of minutes. A reminder that I do a weekly email newsletter. If you want to subscribe, you can do so for free over at bradlisty.substack.com. If you are a regular listener of this show and you want to join the Other People Patreon community, that would be ideal. You can do that at patreon.com/otherpplpod. And if you would like to get an Other People t-shirt or join my book club, just visit the show's official website, otherppl.com. All right, so today's flashback, one more time, is from episode 377, my conversation with Karolina Václaviak. The episode first aired on August 26th, 2015. And a reminder that the full episode is available in the feed. So if you like this flashback and you want to hear the whole thing, just look for episode 377. It is there, waiting for you. All right? All right. Here I am, back in 2015, talking with Karolina Václaviak.
I work next to the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, and I walk by there at lunch, and the collective cost of all the cars there at lunchtime are worth more than my life will ever be worth.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
That's like the Pretty Woman Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where Julia Roberts stays in Pretty Woman.
Yeah, and I think last week there was a sheik staying there, so there are all these SUVs and all these crazy cars, and Biden always stays there.
Does he?
Yeah, Biden stays there, and then the street is cordoned off, and the Secret Service has to check us and stuff like that. It's actually, I like it. I think it's exciting. But we're always looking out the window to see if we're going to see Biden. It's crazy, though, because you'll look into these SUVs, and it's like dudes in suits with AK-47s or whatever assault rifles they have on their lap.
And Beverly Hills is so strange to me.
It's so strange. Strange to go there every day.
Yeah, and I feel like there is a significant contingent of foreign nationals.
Yeah.
Like very wealthy foreign nationals. That's like where they just hide out or have a second home.
Yeah.
And then you have the really wealthy foreign tourists.
Yeah, well, I drive, my route to work is up and down Rodeo. The office is
what
on
do you
Rodeo.
Do?
I work at a law firm.
Okay.
In music and in film.
Are you a lawyer?
Yeah, right. No.
Oh.
I have enough debt to be a lawyer, but not the
you have
bank
law
account.
School debt.
Yeah, I have law school debt for writing.
Okay. but it's like, but it's a good, like it gets you by.
It gets me by. Everyone's super nice. It's like best case scenario.
How did you land it?
Headhunter.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you hired a headhunter, or they found, like, what a headhunter? How does that work? That sounds severe.
I have friends who work in the entertainment industry, and there's headhunters for entertainment jobs. And so when I got back here last January, I hit up a friend, and she put me in touch with this headhunter that only places for law firms.
Okay.
So I work with two paralegals, and it's been really interesting, actually, to see the legal side of the business, which I really didn't understand very much of, but being from a writing background, I don't think anybody talks to you about the business. And so it's been a really interesting education in terms of, like, what you should be after in your deals and stuff.
What should you be after in your deals?
All the money.
All the money.
You know what? To me, I think it's important to have points, back end points, however you can, you know. And so perhaps I'll take less money up front on a project just to say, but I want back end points.
Have you ever gotten back end points on anything?
Yeah. So I co-wrote a project that is coming out next year. We finished filming and editing and stuff. And
is this like a studio film?
No, it's an indie film.
An indie film.
But so I was able to sort, and I have an attorney or whatever, but I was able to know this is what I should be asking for. And I think nobody likes to talk about money or are very open.
I love to talk about it.
Yeah. Or deals, or like what's standard or what you should push for, and maybe you'll get less than that. So I was able to sort of advocate for myself and say, these are the things that I want.
And you got them.
Yeah.
You drive a hard bargain.
I know. You have to educate yourself.
You do. And I think people, it's hard enough just to write the thing. And you can be preoccupied, I think, justifiably with the creative part of it.
Yeah.
But then there's the whole business side of it where, you know, the art and the commerce meet. And if you're not knowledgeable, somebody else probably is. You can get taken advantage of easily.
Right.
You sort of owe it to yourself to know that stuff.
Yeah. And I think I come from a place where I just feel lucky to be a part of it or something, or I used to feel that way. And I think now I'm much more, I say no to things, which I never used to do before. If I think like it's not worth my time, before I thought, well, everything is worth my time because it'll do something for me, even if it's takes more time than it's worth. And now I've just, you know, I've become choosier, and I've become, I guess, I don't want to say bitchier, but sort of like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not putting up with
this.
What
do you mean? Like journalism jobs or screenwriting jobs or all of the above?
All of the above. Or even like book stuff. If I feel like, you know, I'm not getting what I put in, then I'm going to make a fuss. And I think we're all told to be nice. And to be like the nice author, you don't want to cause trouble, but nobody cares as much as you do. Nobody is ever going to care as much as you do about something.
Especially about your project.
Exactly. So if you're sitting back and you're saying, well, I think they know what they're doing, it's okay. At the end, it's all on you because your name is on it. And if you haven't advocated for yourself properly, you're the one stuck with what happened. You know, they don't care. They move on to something else.
Right. They got their 10% or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I was thinking, you know, that old saying, like everybody's the star of their own movie, you know, like, which is commonly like people trot that one out when like they're trying to tell themselves or tell a friend, like, listen, people aren't thinking about you as much as you think they might be. Everybody.
Right.
So I was thinking to myself, like, everybody's the star of their own movie. And then I was thinking, and in Los Angeles, which is, you know, the epicenter of the movie business, is that even more so?
Yeah, I hesitate to say everyone's out to screw you, but I think everyone's out for themselves or to get themselves the peace they want for themselves. So if you aren't doing that too, and I'm not even saying be a bad person or try to screw other people over or anything like that, but just you have to stand up for yourself. I think I was talking to a friend in terms of like publicity on books and stuff, books, films, anything. And she was like, Stephen Elliott said the best thing I've ever heard, which is you care more about your book than your publicist cares about her job.
That's the way it is.
Fact.
Yeah. So you bring up the idea that, everyone's sort of out for themselves. it can certainly feel that way. I was reading about, what was it, a review of the new Noah Baumbach movie, like Mistress America?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And the reviewer in the Times was talking about Baumbach's like body of work and how cynical it can be, and how like the creative arts, like the position that it seems to take on the creative industries, like books, movies, music, whatever, is that they're like flooded, they're oversaturated. There's too many people fighting for too little pie, which turns people into assholes because they're sort of like all fighting for the same piece of pie. And I can find myself sensing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's at least some bit of truth to that idea, however cynical it may be. And it depresses me. I sort of feel like the ills of the world are dependent upon us seeing things as we're all in this together versus it's every man for himself.
I agree with you. And I totally don't believe, as much as I say advocate for yourself, I also am a big proponent of helping other people and like pulling, we have to all pull each other up. And so I don't buy this idea there's only so much for everyone. I think, especially now, there's so many outlets, so many more outlets than there used to be, that there's plenty for everyone, and stepping over people to get what you want is never going to help you. I find it much more beneficial to yourself if you are helping other people. They'll remember and they'll help you when the time comes. So
one hopes.
Yeah. And you know what? If they don't, it's fine. You know that you're a good person and you helped. And I think, you know, working at The Believer and working on other people's essays, I take such great joy in like launching people's careers or having amazing things happen to them. Like me being someone who helped them get something amazing, whether it's a book deal from an essay or they've written an essay that's put them on the map and suddenly they're getting much more money for essays at bigger places. To me, that's like, all right, I'm doing something so good for other people. And, you know, sometimes they say, thank you. I have really good relationships with my writers, but I don't need to be at the forefront. You know what I mean? It's like them. I just help them be the best version of themselves and have this essay be the best version of what they could have done. And so I think that's changed my mind about thinking like we're all in this for ourselves, because when you've built a community for yourself of helping other artists and artists like reaching out to you and being like, hey, this thing's come up, I can't do it, do you want to, or I put your name up for something, I hope you don't mind. I mean, that stuff's real, and I'm a big proponent, too, of women helping women. And I think in some respects, there's this idea, and I've seen it more in Hollywood than maybe in books, and I think it has to do with money and how much money there is here, this idea that there's only so many spaces for women. And so it feels like a bit more cutthroat in terms of like we're angling for the same spot. So we have to be at odds with each other. And I'm not saying everyone is like that, obviously, but I've seen it a teeny bit more. I think there's like more at stake because, like I said, there's so much more money at stake than in books. And I just think it's wrong. And Jill Soloway talks about this all the time. We need to rise up and we can take more than what we've been allotted. We don't need to settle for what we've been given. And we need to do it together to make it happen.
So, okay. So there's more outlets than ever.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
You can put up a TV show anywhere.
Yeah.
You can put it up on YouTube.
Yeah.
So you've got this media environment, not dissimilar to what happened in music and what happened with books, now happening with film and television.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people watching on mobile, you know, consuming on their iPads or their phones and all that kind of stuff. But if we agree that there's more outlets than ever to get your work into people's hands, wouldn't that means there's less money, right? Because if it's flooded and there's millions of people, or not millions, but thousands of people making TV shows, then doesn't it get harder to grab advertising dollars and to actually make a sustainable living from it, much like what happens with books?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I feel like the time where you were waiting for someone to give you an opportunity is over. Like, you know, when I lived here before, there's this idea that you write spec scripts and someone will come along and will buy your movie for $1 million and there you go. And I don't think that's the case anymore. I think now you need to have a built-in audience before anybody will take a risk on you. And so you start by making a YouTube show or something and then people find you. And I mean, it's hard to make money as an artist, period. And that's why I have a day job. And that's why other people have day jobs. I don't know what the answer is of how to be a creative person and sustain your life in a creative way. Hopefully, you know, my time is coming that I can do that. But I think you can parlay the stuff you don't get paid for into big money, or at least a living money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if it goes viral, or like you say, if you have an essay that goes up in The Believer and tons of people read it, and the right people in media in New York or wherever read it, then suddenly things can happen.
Yeah. Well, because everyone's looking for content and they're looking for good content. So if you're sitting around and waiting for someone to come around and hopefully one day read your script, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, in my experience, it did not happen. So I said, how can I get my stuff out there in another way? What's my workaround? And so I said, I'm going to go write a book and try to sell it, which is what happened. But then I got an audience, and then suddenly there was interest. So to me, there's so many different ways to enter the gates, and it doesn't have to be the way we've been told. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think there's such a freedom in understanding that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the barrier to entry is definitely lower.
Yeah.
But it's harder to get up into these positions where you're making money.
Right. But no one can stop you from creating.
Right.
You know, now I saw a film, Tangerine, a few weeks ago.
It's the iPhone movie.
It was amazing.
I didn't see it, but I read about it.
It is so good.
And it's shot on an iPhone.
It's so good. It's as good as any film that's shot. And
does it look? Yeah. It looks great.
It looks great. The story's fantastic. It was amazing because I was watching it and I felt this sense of nostalgia because I worked in Hollywood in the late 90s at a needle exchange in that neighborhood.
We talked about that the last time you were on the show, yeah.
And so I'm watching it and I was like, oh my God, I remember that neighborhood so well. And it's like...
That's over in... What, is it over in Hollywood? Where are they filming?
Yeah, Sunset and Highland.
It's like my old. That's like my old hood.
Yeah, and so the city's changing so much, but I took comfort in the fact there's still parts of the city that haven't changed at all.
It's a weird part of the city, Hollywood.
It is.
Hollywood is, I feel like Hollywood, I think there's an undercurrent of pain in human beings, period.
Yeah.
I feel like in Los Angeles, particularly because it's so bright and sunny and there's a lot of physical beauty everywhere, there can be a lot of money. You can be in Beverly Hills and there can be a line of Bentleys in front of you like we were talking about. But then, you know, there's also like maybe this palpable undercurrent of sadness too, because there are, what do they call it? Land of broken dreams.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
There
are
a lot of people who came here on the bus and showed up with a dream and a suitcase and shit just didn't happen. And
we
don't talk about that as much because it's not as pleasant, but it's far more common.
Right.
And it seems to me like Hollywood and the Walk of Stars and just that gritty section right around Sunset in Hollywood and Sunset in Vine. And, you know, it seems to live there. Like nothing in the city makes me sadder than the Walk of Stars.
Yeah.
Like, or the Walk of Fame, whatever.
I know,
it's
that's called. My route in the morning. So I see
it's so bad.
The morning after.
Ugh.
It's so sad.
There's just something up there. There's a dark energy.
Yeah, there's dark energy, and then there's the first blush of tourists walking way too early when things are mostly closed, looking around like, is this really it?
Yes, exactly. I always want to like stop and be like, people, this is not Los Angeles.
Yeah, don't come here.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, that film, to me, it's like, you don't need tons of money. You can write a script, shoot a film. If now it's, you know, you have Final Cut at home. I'm not saying this stuff is like super cheap, but it's so much cheaper than trying to like get someone to invest millions of dollars in your film.
Yeah.
No one can stop you from creating anymore.
Right.
And I think that is...
And the technology barrier is minimal.
Yeah. It's amazing.
You have no excuses.
You have no excuses. And I think it's interesting when I hear people say, well, it's just not working for me, or I'm waiting for someone to let me direct something. It's like, why? You don't have to wait for anyone to let you do anything anymore.
Yeah.
You don't.
Okay, that was Karolina Butslaviak in episode 377 from August 26th, 2015. If you want to hear the full hour, just look for episode 377 in the feed. For more on Karolina Butslaviak, visit karolinabutslaviak.com. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen. Hit the subscribe button. You can also subscribe on YouTube. Follow the show on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky. If you want to receive my weekly email newsletter, you can sign up for free at bradlisty.substack.com. Join the Other People Patreon community at patreon.com/otherpplpod. Please give this show a rating wherever you listen. Write a little review. It helps the show in the rankings. It helps it find new listeners. To get an Other People t-shirt or to sign up for my book club, visit otherppl.com. And if you want to read my latest book, it's a novel called Be Brief and Tell Them Everything, available in trade paperback, ebook, and audiobook editions. I narrate the audiobook. Again, it's called Be Brief and Tell Them Everything. So coming up on Sunday, I will be in conversation with Anel Lopez, author of a debut story collection called I'll Give You a Reason, available from the Feminist Press. I had a great talk with Anel Lopez. Her debut is excellent. So stay tuned.